All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are in our lives. And God, today I ask that as we look more into Scripture and as we seek your face, God, that you would take lies that we believe and you would shatter them with truth. And God, I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you that when we come to you, that your truth washes us, cleanses us, and God reminds us of who we are and who you are. So right now, I just pray for all of us, Lord God, to be able to have open hearts and open minds to what you want to say today, here, now, in this time. Thank you, Lord. I was sitting this morning and I was thinking about, what to teach on, because that's kind of my Sunday mornings is getting ready for this, and it's not like this process through the whole week. And I've realized for me that it's been, I don't know, the last couple of weeks have been kind of funky, and I think it's been funky for a lot of people in just different areas of life. People have just, I don't know if it's just the seasons or whatever, but a lot of people just kind of going through stuff in the last few weeks more so than other times. And for me, like back, people have asked me like how how emerging leaders was, and I enjoyed a lot of parts of it, but it was interesting how fear was something that popped up for me in different situations, which was really strange. And one of them was during like the Enneagram time. Like I just started feeling really anxious, and all these people are excited about it, and Laura was saying, she was asking Troy, like, what about those people who are just so against doing it? And she's like, you know, what do you do? And I said, and I raised my hand, I said, not everybody's just against it. Like, I really feel anxious about it. Like, it really gives me anxiety. I don't know why. And then, like, another time during that weekend, we were at this leader's part, and this guy was walking us through making goals. And as leaders, we were talking about, like, reaching for this big goal. Like, what could Rev as a whole, like, how many people could it reach? And people were throwing out numbers, and somebody said 1 million. And that's where they kind of, okay, 1 million. Like, that would be an amazing goal. And I'm just like, you've just shut me down. You know, like, I'm done. You know, like, there's no possible way that I can do even a piece of that that would make any dent in 1 million people. You know, and so, like, that shut me down. And there was something else that happened on the weekend that just, like, filled me with, like, these anxious feelings. And I was like, what is this? Like, when I was a kid, I remember dealing with fear a lot. And then, you know, throughout my life, there's been different, like, sections, like going to Uganda this last, like every year, the days before it, I feel anxious and afraid, you know, and I think sometimes people are like, oh, you know, Josh is really adventurous, and if you knew the phone calls I had with my parents right before I leave, you know, like, I feel anxious, and like this last time, I remember calling my parents and just like crying, like I just felt overwhelmed, I felt just this fear, and though I know what to expect and all this stuff, it's not logical fear, you know, why them saying 1 million would fill me with fear, it's just a number. Like, I'm going to do me, right? Enneagram, that could be cool for some people. Like, maybe right now it's not for me. Or maybe it's just, you know, there's something in it that I need to find for myself. But whatever. Like, those, why fear? And so I've just felt kind of funky lately and needing to spend time with God and yet avoiding it. Does anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, no, not right now. Phone. Nope. Netflix series. You know, nope. You know, and so I was just like, I have a 5-day weekend that I'm, you know, I still have tomorrow off as well. And I was just like, okay, I have got to carve out time. So I went for a hike on Thursday and went up Neff's Canyon and just to get away, you know, turned off my phone and had my journal. And as I think so much better as I walk, like I just do, you know, and as I'm going, I'm stopping and these thoughts come in and I'm journaling and I get mostly through with the hike, come back down to this like valley area and I just sit there and talk and pray. And one of the things that came up was me, and I walk a lot of people through like encounter weekends, you know, and dealing with like how to take authority over these things. And I was like, I'm allowing fear to have a place. That's something that I'm allowing, you know? And so I stopped myself and I walked myself through things. I'm like, I swore at fear, you know, and I was just like, get out, you know, like, I don't want you. This isn't your home. And then I started writing down truth of who I was, and I just kept going, and I filled like 2 pages up of I am, and that's something that we're going to be doing. That's why I have the pens and the paper out if you don't have a journal. But there's power in truth. There's power in recognizing truth and declaring it, even if we don't feel it. Like this weekend, like I haven't, it's not like in those moments I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so connected with Jesus, you know, like it wasn't that. It was that, like, I know how good he is. I've experienced it. I'm going to claim that over my life right now. And I'm going to walk in that. And our hearts are deceptive. If we go on just how we're feeling and emotions, we're going to be basket cases most of the times. There are times we have to say, okay, that's how I'm feeling, but that is not true. So we're going to look at some scriptures about truth. And as I was looking at these scriptures, I want us to look at them a little bit different. So we're going to first start in John 14:6, a verse that many people are familiar with. And if you're not, here it is for you. But John 14:6, Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so I looked up, I'm like, okay, so what is truth? You know, he's the way, the truth, he's the way. We know he's the way to God. We know that he's the reason we have life, but what does it mean that he's the truth? And I used to think kind of in my head, I don't know, I would hear he's the truth. I'm like, okay, he provides truth about who God is, right? He reveals who he is and who God is. And I think that it's more encompassing than that. So I was looking at the word truth, and it says reality, fact, and in opposition of illusion. And I think a lot of times, not I think, I know, a lot of times in our lives, we get caught in illusion. We get caught in things that that cloud how we actually see ourselves and how we see God. And I think the thing is, and he says, no one can come to the Father except through me, right? In him is where we figure out who we are and who he is. And the truth isn't just about who God is, it's truth about everything. He is all truth. And so when we're in him and when we pursue him, we become unveiled as well, which is really powerful. So in 1 John 3:18,
what's that?
What? I'm sorry.
3:18.
John 3:18.
Yeah, 1 John 3:18. Sorry.
3:18?
A tin. Sounds like... Sorry. 1 John 3:18. He says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And the definition is the same thing, not an illusion. So even how we're treating people and how we're living our lives, it's not just about the words that we speak or the actions that we have in our lives. It's doing it in truth, in the reality of what is true. Did that match up? 1 John 3:18?
Yeah.
Are you... What are you in? What Bible? Is it Passion?
No. I think it was American Standard or something. It's from Bible Hub.
Yeah, mine's reading different, but it's okay.
What does yours say? I just want to hear it.
What if I have it wrong?
No, you might.
So it's beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds.
Yeah. Yep. So, like, to be through what we actually, like, do, and it needs to be in truth. Like, who we are needs to be grounded in truth. And it's crazy. I was talking with Aaron, was it Thursday night? And...
Oh, yeah, how was that?
It was very nice. Indian food. It was luscious. And as we go through life, I think sometimes we think like, oh, I've dealt with that. I'm never going to deal with it again. And so when it comes back, we feel defeated. Mm. And it's like the enemy wants us to feel small. He wants us to live in illusion. He wants us to live out of... fear and insecurities, and sometimes we allow those things to come back. It's like, well, that's just part of my personality. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody was saying, they were talking about how, who was it? Something during Emerging Leaders, but it was Eric Gregson. He's just like, you know, that I'm just a dick. Yeah, that's just kind of who I am, so just like people need to deal with it. You know, like that's just kind of, he's like, that's how I treat people. You know, I have a hard exterior, like people, you know, he was talking like up front, and he's like, that's not true. That's deception. That's not who I really am. And being able to love in truth requires us to know who we are and know who God is. But it's allowing truth to do its work. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to look at a few other verses. With me, I'm going kind of fast. I feel like I'm speaking fast. But okay, Proverbs, what? Proverbs 35. 30, verse 5. And I love this. Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Other translations could be flawless or tested. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. They're flawless. They're pure. They're perfect. They're true. All of God's words are true.
Yep.
Like, there's no lie in God and what he says about us and about who he is. How do we know his truth? The only way is to spend time. You know, in my head, it gets crazy. It gets crazy up in this noggin. Like, it does. Like, it does. And, like, sometimes I feel lost. I feel, I don't know. There's a lot of lies that I allow to creep in, but it's taking that time to be, okay, Jesus, here's you. And when we face him, it's crazy what gets challenged in us. It's crazy what gets changed and altered. And so it's a shield to those who take refuge. His word, his truth, you could replace it with, his truth, that's where we take refuge. Yeah. That's our protection. It's being in his truth.
That's
like, that's crazy,
yeah.
Right? And I think we hear these verses, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then we almost make it into this one thing. You're right. Jesus reveals the Father. Well, yeah, absolutely. But that's not it. That's not all. He is all of truth in who he is. And when we face him, Aaron was saying, like, in worship, that's where an exchange is made. It's also where we say, like, here's the lies I'm believing. I receive your truth. In John 8, 31 to 32, John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, it says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth about what? Of course, about who God is, right? About Jesus being our salvation, about Jesus being the way to the Father. But I don't think it's only that. I think we make it too small. Like, we'll know the truth. We'll know who we are in him as well, right? We'll know the purpose of our lives. We'll know what real love is, true love. You know, it says for us back in 1 John, to love in truth, we'll know how to do that in him.
Yeah.
That's the only possible way. So again, if you hold to my teaching, and what did Jesus teach on? Love, often, right? And he challenged things that people believed, and he broke down structures of religion. He taught about who he was. He taught about relationships with each other. He taught about grace, all of that stuff. And yeah, we want to know the Father and see him clearly. The more I know him, the more I'm going to know who I am. So, humility, when it talks about humility in the Bible, the definition that it gives is knowing who I am in light of who he is. The only way I'm going to know who I am, really who I am, is to know who he is. And the only way I know who God is by actually looking at him. It's actually spending time with him. The only way that Aaron and Nikki know each other is time spent.
Yeah.
Right? Any relationship that's going to last, the only way you get to know somebody is actually spending time. I think of Wilbur in Uganda, when we talked like yesterday or the day before for like 2 hours. And the reason Wilbur and I know each other so well, we've been walking in life for 11 years, but every weekend we spend hours just talking. You know, I know what he's going through. And one of the things that's been really challenging for him is... Wilbur's becoming really quite famous in Uganda, which is crazy. He's now up for an award. He's one of 10 people up for an award for East Africa gospel music. He has one song that he released on the radio, and he's up for an award for East African gospel music.
Wow.
And they're going to start voting. He's been doing this for like 6 months, and people in 10 years, he's like it's crazy. He's on like TV stations, news, like they all are like doing all this stuff on him.
Wow.
And so people that knew him before think that he's changed. So he just sat down with some other missionaries, and they asked him, like, oh, so I'm hearing that you own a car, and, like, you're doing all these concerts, you're making all this money, and he's like, none of that's true. No, I don't own a car. I don't even have a license. I've done a few concerts. None of them have been paid. What was the other thing I said? No, I don't have a lot of money coming in. It's like, the only way I'm making money is I make, like, this much money helping this one guy with his band, and then, like, what New Hope, this organization, gives him, and what... And he told me what I give him for, like, college. It's like, that's the only way I'm surviving.
Mm.
And they're like, oh. They think they know what's going on with him because they're hearing about it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not going to know God unless you spend time talking to him. You're just not. Me telling you about my relationship with God is not going to be the same as your relationship. And I'm going to try the best that I can to present it, but it's going to be different for you. Right? So, like, Wilbur, like, these people think that they know him, and he's totally not that way. And he's like, all these people have this distorted view of who I am and who I'm becoming, and that's not who I am. And he's like, and I said, well, don't worry, your mom and me, we know who you are. And he's like, that gives him peace. He's like, because I'm the one that he calls. He's like, I'm going on the radio for the very first time, and I'm terrified. Right? He's not like this like big person. He's like talking to me about, anyway, lots of different parts of life that I need. I'm just going to keep between him and me. But, you know, this service, I am recording this. But so people don't really know him because they're not spending time actually talking to him.
Right.
And every weekend I spend time talking to him
yeah.
for hours. Like, I know him better than I know a lot of people in my own city. A lot of my own, like, actual, like, cousins and aunts and uncles, because I see them once a year, or I talk, you know, like, I talk to him so much. So, like, we've built that relationship. There's no exception for time.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can take the place of that. And so, me, I don't know why I get nervous to spend time with God, because it's not about who God is. I'm not afraid to come to him. I don't think he's going to do anything, but it's what ends up being revealed in me that sometimes I don't want to see, you know? So, knowing who I am in light of who he is, that's humility. And I'm only going to know myself when I spend time with him. The more I can see him clearly, the more clearly I can see who I am and live out my best self. In 3 John 1:4, John's talking to...
Did you say 3 John?
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you say?
3 John?
I'm just...
What do you...
For a second there, I was just confused.
Oh, 3 John.
What did I say?
Third John 1:4.
He's talking to you, and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because his heart for people is to lead them, these people that he's pastoring, that he's loving on, to lead them to truth, to lead them to God, to lead them to living who they really are. And he's like, you're doing it. You're loving people. And he goes on for how they're treating each other and how the brothers are working together and all of that stuff. But he says it gives him joy. And I think about that. I look at some of the relationships. I mean, Wilbur being a prime example, you know, as my son, like the time that we spend together and watching this fruit in his life of like believing in him and standing with him and helping him to be able to see truth in life, it fills me with joy. But so I wrote something down I'm going to read to you because I'll probably miss something if I don't. So I was just writing, Jesus is truth. When we fix our eyes on him, we get to know him more fully and trust him more completely. The more we know truth himself, the more clearly we will see who we are in him. Jesus is a disruptor. He brings truth that shatters lies that we believe. It's challenging to have these lies confronted. Lies about him, about ourselves. It forces us to act, to do something. We have a choice. We either can grow in it or we can run and hide. If we choose to trust him, he gives us courage to face the lies head on and allow his truth to replace them. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it because the truth will set us free. I back away because sometimes I'm like, gosh, I feel like I've been dealing with stuff in my life too long. You know, like
my whole life.
Stuff in my life, my whole life. Right? 38 years. And you're like, and I'm coming back to it, and there's more fear here? Really? And I start to get this aversion. I'm just like, I want to have this idea that everything's just okay. Right? I'm good. I've dealt with it all. Like, and there's the thing about like, yeah, we're in him, but we're human. And there are things that are going to come, and sometimes some of those darts that are thrown our way by people, by the enemy, are going to hit us. They're going to nick us. They're going to bring up pain from the past. That doesn't mean that I'm not the same person. Wait.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant to say. That doesn't mean I'm not changed from the person that I used to be, right? Just because something gets brought up, it doesn't mean that I'm back to where I was. And that's because I operate sometimes out of fear. You know, like, to be confronted with things that I'm dealing with make me feel weak, make me feel small, make me feel like I've lost ground where the reality is I haven't. And I like to think about it more like, somebody told me it this way. So you go to, like, a buffet, right? And they got those plates. And as you take one off, they kind of, like, pop up, right? There's kind of, like, this spring underneath. And you kind of, like, I wish the plates are going to be gone sometime. And they will when we're no longer here. But I believe that like there's something for us always to deal with because we're human, right? We're fully human. And though we're in him, and though like we have eternal life in him, and this is not it, we're still human. we still have emotions, and sometimes our emotions are deceptive. They feel that way, but it's like, it's not real. Why did those things bring up insecurities and fears in me? There was no threat in any of that, right? It's because, like, wow, you set a bar at 1 million people, I'm going to fail. I don't want to fail, because then I don't look good enough, right? You, like, you tell me that I need to choose one of these 9 things. Well, what if I choose wrong? And all these people that I keep meeting say that they know which one I am. That doesn't help, because that makes me feel insecure that I'm going to choose the wrong one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so it's these things that, like, go on in my head. Seeing people, running into people that you're like, I don't trust that person. Why do I feel afraid? Why does that bring up fear in my heart? There's nothing to fear in that situation. It's not a bear that's coming to attack me, but that's sometimes my go-to, is fear, because it's also comfortable. You know,
yeah.
There's something in that. But I used to not actually recognize the feeling of fear. I just lived in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm allowing it to feel, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so, like, for me, when I'm afraid, like, right here starts to vibrate a little bit, or, like, feels tight. I hate it so much. Like, I don't like that feeling, because I want to feel like I'm in control. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I want to feel like I'm in control, that I can make choices, that I can just do everything. And when things are happening to my body physically, that I'm like, I don't want that. If I'm really in control of everything that's happening, that shouldn't be happening right now, because I wouldn't be choosing that. Are you with me?
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's real stuff. So then I feel weak. And then if I face that it's actually there, I don't feel strong enough. Right? So going off, I'm like, okay, God, let's do this, but I don't want to. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't know what's going to be unveiled, because he is a disruptor. And you look at the way that Jesus lived, he challenged things, right? And some people allowed that challenge, like, I don't understand this, but I'm going to step into it because there's something good. Well, I want to be on that camp. I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm still dealing with it sometimes. But I want to be that, like, I know every time that I go to Jesus, I do feel better. Writing those things, those affirmations about who I am, were powerful for me. You know, and I kept saying over and over, I am not a fearful person. That is not my identity. I am whole in him, but I am afraid sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we let these lies, and that's why, David, I think, like, what we're talking about today, we all go through things and we allow these lies, like, I've never, you know, I feel alone. There's nobody there for me. You know, I'm distant from God. God's not here. And we start to allow just to entertain those thoughts. And what it does is it brings us into more isolation, and it makes us feel numb, because emotions are scary.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They really are. You know, and for me, I've done really good at most of my life of doing this. You know? And I didn't mean to do this part, but if you're going to do this part with those harder emotions, you know, fear, sadness, and kind of like control things, you're going to take off that top part. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to kind of like make everything into this like flat line. And then, like, okay, you feel like you're in control, but inside it's not always in control, you know? And then things start to pop out. I'm trying to go on a journey of actually feeling it. Okay, I feel afraid right now. I don't know why. I want to flee. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something with it, but I'm actually going to feel that emotion, right? Yeah. But the truth is that there's nothing to be afraid of. I don't fear Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a reality. I really don't. Like, at all. That's not something to fear. I fear other people. I don't fear him. I don't fear him at all. Like, I've just gotten to a place in my life, like, I know there's nothing he can do to me. But I know that those lies can come in, and that's how he gets, you know, he can mess with my mind. But I fear situations. I fear people. You know, Chris North talked about 4 things. He did this last year, but he reminded us of 4 things. But there are 4 idols. Looking good. Feeling good. What are the other ones?
Being right.
Being right and being in control. We're gonna look this up. He talked a lot. Okay, Chris North, where are those things? I wanna bring it up, because I've been kind of thinking about that stuff. I'm like, yep. Yep. Okay, that's there. Yep. Okay, here's one. So looking good or being liked. That's an idol for me. I do make choices on wanting to be liked. Feeling good. I don't like when things don't feel good, and so I often want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Right? Most ask, how can I make the pain stop? to feel good now. It's comfort, not growth. Yep. Yep. Being right. So pretty much I have a lot of idols. This is what I'm realizing in life. Being right. We'd rather be right than curious. Okay? Being right about our worldview, it stops a relationship. You want to be right about someone more than being in the relationship. And then being in control. What's the other one? So being in control will sacrifice our vision to live a small, predictable life, something that we can control. And when we step out of things that we can control, it's so unpredictable. I was going to say it's scary. It doesn't need to be scary, but it is unpredictable. I can't control all the people that I'm in relationship with. I can't control every time that I go to Uganda. I can't control what's going to happen to me, right? I can't control to have people stay in relationships with me. But all of those things, like, either I can say, no, I have none of those idols. No, I don't deal with fear. I'm strong. And put on this outer exterior and never deal with it and never grow and never actually be who I'm supposed to be. And so I don't want to live a small life, and I don't want you guys to live small lives, right? And so when we allow lies to come in, the only thing that can combat lies is truth.
Yeah.
And the only one who can give us truth is Him. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so when I sat there and I started writing those things, I'm like, yeah, that's who I am. And today I went for a walk and I was just praying. And I know that I do better when I get up and I start moving. You know, living alone sometimes can be very isolating. And it's easy just to kind of like lay there and not be motivated to get out of bed. And, you know, I don't have a little kid that I'm like, got to get up or that kid's not going to eat. You know, like I don't have a spouse that I, you know, need. Like,
get a cat.
Hell no. I'm good. But going on walks, it gets me up and it gets me moving and I think so much more clearly. And it's something that's healthy for my life. But looking at this stuff, it's Jesus. He is truth. And it's not just He holds truth about God. He holds all truth. What He says to us when we spend time with Him is the thing that is able to cleanse us, strengthen us, help us to be who He created us to be.
Yeah.
Right? So, if you don't have a journal, we are going to be spending some time. And if you need a note card because you don't have anything, get a pen, get a note card. Now. get a colored card if you want. Those of you at home, we're going to spend some time. Take some time if you want to. Journal, and well, I'll give directions and then I'll pause it. So what I want you to do is I want you just to spend some time and ask Him to reveal to you truth. What does He say about you? Who are you? And it sometimes we're sitting, it wasn't that I was hearing this audible voice while I was hiking. It was stuff that I know to be true, right? And I don't want to read any of them because I don't want to put that in your head. I just want, what is true? Who?
Did you buy this?
What's up?
Did you buy these?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna
do it. I bought them for the church for emerging leaders, so I've got a whole other bag full of them. Don't everybody take them. We have none. She's my sister-in-law. It's free. But I want to actually take some time, and I'm going to do it more. I'm going to go to my list, and I want to just take some time and just write, what's true about you? And if you need to ask Him, say, Jesus, what's true about me? What do you say about me? That's a great place to start. But allow truth, and if you're feeling something like, oh, I feel this way, like for me, I feel afraid. Well, I was like, well, what's actually the truth? And so I did the opposite. I wrote the opposite. I'm not going to write that I am fearful, right? Who are you? What's that?
I really like these.
Wow. Nikki really likes the pen a lot. She's stealing it.
Is it stealing if I tell you?
She asked me, so I'm giving it to her. So we're going to take some time to write.